Hello everyone. So once again, Meenal, Sangeeta and I, Poonam, are back with another episode of Crash Landed on K-Drama. In today's episode, we are going to deep dive into a fantastic romantic drama called Our Beloved Summer, which all of us love, and we have a special guest, Deepak. Deepak is an engineer by the day and he moonlights as a K-drama binge watcher, absolutely our favorite thing to do. And Deepak watches a lot of regional content, but he loves K-dramas and specifically Park Shin-hye. So Deepak, you can give your all the contact details where people can know more or follow more of your K-drama updates. And thank you so much for coming on our podcast today. We are really delighted to have a male perspective on a change, because we three women, we are already, I cannot say we are still tired, but we three are often sharing our opinions a lot. So it's good to have a different perspective over here today. So Deepak, really welcome to have you here.
Yeah, thank you, Meenal, Poonam and Sangeeta. So I'm really honored to be part of the podcast, and yeah, you guys can reach out to me on Twitter. That's the only place where I'm very, very active. Let's get started. I'm so excited.
So before we begin our deep dive today for Our Beloved Summer, I'm sure our listeners want to hear something about you, and this is our standard thing to do with our guests. We ask them a couple of questions like, Deepak, how did you get started on K-drama? And especially a male, I'm really interested how that happened.
Okay, so I think I started off with a lot of English TV series and stuff like that. And I think Boys Over Flowers or something of the very similar genre, I think it was being discussed a lot. And I think I picked up from there. And after that, I never stopped watching. So I watched pretty much all genres. And I think K-dramas are really fun.
You said you watch all the genres. Give me, like, you know, your favorite K-drama from each of the genres.
I think fantasy, I liked King, right? What was that?
King Eternal Monarch.
And then I think, this was a trick question. I am not prepared. So. whatever Netflix presents to me or whatever I see is like hot on Reddit, right? People discussing on dramas, I pick it up. So I think I have to pick up Itaewon Class. When I met a few friends recently who are also K-drama enthusiasts, they told me, uncle, please watch this, please watch that, etc.
You have to watch Itaewon Class for Kim Dami and also Park Seo-joon. But Deepak, is there any two dramas that you recommend our listeners to watch?
I think mainly why I watch K-drama is to de-stress and to refresh myself. So I would like a K-drama where there's no negativity or any evil characters. So I like the ones which are quite fun and this one. So I think I would recommend Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha and 2521.
Yes.
Those two are my favorites right now. So.
This has definitely made Meenal happy, I can assure you that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Coincidentally, even Our Beloved Summer didn't have any negative characters.
Yeah.
Or someone who's trying to sabotage or hurt someone. So anyway, we're going to deep dive into this one. But all the characters in this drama were all like very wholesome. I liked everything about them, their perfections and imperfections. And yes. Let's go ahead.
Deepak, I have to still ask one more question. Why do you like Park Shin-hye so much?
She's everywhere. She's cute and she's good looking, but she's quite talented. I can't imagine any artist or an actor who's acted with everyone. She's pretty much acted with all the, girls' favorite actors, right? Like all the boys. And I think she must have saved the country in a previous life to be so lucky. And
Deepak, you're stretching your luck here with Sangeeta.
So many roles, I don't know. Like, there are many good-looking actors and quite talented other than Park Shin-hye. But I love how she's like made a place for herself. I keep waiting for her to come on screen.
Agree with that. That she's very savvy. She has a great drama sense. I think she picks very good dramas. Whether we like it or not, that's a different thing. But
I don't dislike her or at all. But she's not one of my best looking people either. Yeah. Like the people who I think are like great looking actors. That's not where she comes.
Yeah.
Essentially for me, I don't go searching for her dramas. If she happens to be in the drama, I'll watch.
Yeah.
But I will not go actively looking for her dramas.
Right.
That's it.
That sums it up. Okay.
One more question to you, Deepak. So what do you think differentiates K-dramas from other language content? And what do you like about them?
I actually started watching K-drama because they are similar to us. So if I wanted something really different, right, I would have picked up something from Netflix or some really dark comedy or there are a lot of crime dramas, thrillers, etc. But why I watch K-drama is because they're so similar to us. Like they call Appa, Amma and they respect their elders. And I could sense a lot of common traits between us and Koreans. And other than that, also the time constraint, right? You know about our Indian TV soaps that they never end. So I like that these K-dramas have a fixed length format and they end after some time, like 15 episodes or 21 episodes or 12 episodes. So keeping time in picture, I like that K-dramas have this fixed length format as well.
Yeah,
the time thing, it no longer holds true because now we are finding 16 episodes also a lot longer to watch. And secondly, Netflix is definitely changing that character of K-dramas because it's bringing season after season. So a year ago, it was true for all of us, but now we are all struggling with 16-hour dramas.
Agree. Netflix should stop this multi-season format. It's why we deviated away from Hollywood and British series and now you want us to go back. Stop.
Exactly. Netflix, if you're listening, this is a good feedback to catch
yes,
on to.
Please. And keep it to 10-12 episodes. I think those are the dramas I seem to enjoy a lot more as well these days.
Yeah, 12 episodes is a sweet spot.
Better still 6-8 episodes.
Yeah, even better.
No, sometimes, but when you really like some of those characters, like our beloved Samar, some of these dramas, me and Surat, we keep discussing, we're like, even if they go about their daily lives and just doing their nonsense, we're still willing to watch. I just love those characters so much that you're willing to do that. So, but those kind of dramas, yeah.
Yeah, I would have happily watched.
Right.
And those are special, real special kind of dramas which make you feel that way. Otherwise, even the greatest drama, you feel like, oh God, last two episodes drag.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they do this sooner?
Yeah.
Agreed.
So let's get started with our beloved Samar. Disclaimer to our listeners that this episode will be full of spoilers. So there will be ample spoilers once we hit our favorite characters and scenes and we discuss them in detail. So we'll give timestamps in our episode notes. You may choose to switch off after the non-spoiler section and then come back to listen to the rest of the episode. So let's go ahead with the deep dive.
For the listeners' benefit, here is the plot summary of our beloved Summer. The drama deals with second chances at love between two starkly opposite individuals. Ko Kyun-soo, played by Kim Dami, is the school topper. And Chae-young, played by Choi Woo-sik, is the laid-back, last-rank student in the school. The two come together to film for a documentary. They are at constant loggerheads with each other, but as K-drama plots go, they end up falling in love with each other. The twist is, they break up. 10 years later, they cross paths again to end up being cast in a documentary again to depict their present lives. So what happens to Ung and Yoon-soo while they film this documentary? Are they able to resolve their feelings post-breakup? Are they able to move on from each other? Are their feelings rekindled? The drama essentially centers around these two individuals and their personal and relationship growth. So obviously, my first question to everyone here is, why did you decide to watch our beloved Summer?
Allow our guest to answer it first.
Okay. Okay. So I think it was because of Kim Dami and also the song which was released by BTS. I think it was V's Christmas, what was the song? Christmas Tree. So I think both of this kind of triggered my curiosity. And then I saw that these guys are the leads from The Witch. And I also had to rewatch it for the podcast, of course.
So for me, I typically don't watch any trailers, etc. I don't like to know the story in advance at all. I like to be like completely surprised. But I've always loved Choi Woo-sik. I have been following him from his movies and his old dramas. In fact, in our previous episode, Drama Troopers, I actually chose Choi Woo-sik as my favorite in an ensemble cast for the comic role. So I knew that here is one really cool, talented guy. And Kim Dami, I had loved her in Itaewon Class. And then I saw their photo shoot that they did for Cosmo. Cosmopolitan, and I loved that photo shoot and their chemistry, them together. I knew that I had to watch it. But even so that when you're looking forward to watching something, the first episode took me off by a surprise. Why? It was completely focused on their relationship, and there was this fantastic push and pull, and they were giving me enough information but also not giving me everything at once. So I really wanted to know what's happening with them. I remember I binge watched on a Saturday afternoon 9 episodes almost together in the same day. I did not move from here because I really was curious to know, okay, what's happening with them, how are they starting. I think they caught your attention really well early.
Absolutely agree with you, Poonam. I think you summed up pretty well as to how the drama caught us by surprise. Sangeeta, you first, then I'll go.
Yeah, for me too, it was the lead pair. I know that Chevushik and Kim Dami both are powerhouse of talents from their previous work. So when I saw that there is a drama coming with these two together, I was like, forget what it is about. I have to watch it. That's all.
So for me also, pretty much like you three, having watched them in their previous works, I was definitely going to watch it. I thought it'll be young, youthful romance, lots of banter. As we go into the deep dive, I'll tell you what blew me away while watching this drama. I didn't expect that it would head that way. And I think it was one of the finest acting I've seen by a lead pair to keep you gripped, because the cast was wholesome, everything was lovely, writing, everything. But I think those two had me from scene one. So like scene one, episode one, I was hooked completely.
There's something special about their relationship.
Agreed.
It was not big gestures. It was not like in K-dramas, you know, even in Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha, they're like this call-out scene which are used in trailers everywhere where he holds her, you do that. None of that.
Nothing.
None of that in our beloved Sama. It's just whenever they, both of them are on the screen, there is something palpable going on and you feel that tension.
It was relatable. It was very relatable because it felt real.
And none of you have seen the trailer, right? But I always try to watch the trailers to kind of get a sense whether I'm going to like this topic or not. And the trailer was so refreshing, and we'll come to the music. But by God, I was like, I have to watch this. I have to watch this drama for sure. So next question was, did it meet your expectations after you finished watching the drama?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, there is nothing else to say.
It actually blew my mind away. It more than exceeded my expectations. I went in, like I said, expecting a fun, bantering romance, cute little romance. By God, Kim Dami and Che Woo-shik delivered the most angsty romance for me. And I crave angst. I'm like, yes, this is what I need. For me, Ji Chang-wook is my favorite actor in terms of pining for a woman. Che Woo-shik just nailed it. His wistful eyes stayed in my memory forever. Like, I loved this part.
I have a question to ask on this one. I think we were discussing it earlier as well. On the second watch, what did it feel like? For me, you know, I started appreciating humor a lot. Because we remember angsty romance, we actually forget almost each episode is peppered with so many humorous takes. All between all characters, by the way. Not just the lead pair. And I was like, brilliant. This was brilliant that when you watch next time, you unpack another layer.
So, just like Poonam told, even I avoid watching trailers and I haven't seen the trailer yet. So, for me, I thought it's mostly going to be two school kids falling in love and then they get married and so on. And the things that happen at work and stuff like that. But none of those things happened and it was much better than expected. So, yeah, I liked it.
I mean, second chance dramas are dime a dozen in K-dramas. But I felt this still took us by surprise by the sheer treatment and the flow of the plot and even development of characters. I think there was so many layers to their characters that they've revealed as the drama progressed. Initially, both seem to be such quirky, weird characters. Don't get it. I mean, is it just two strong personalities sort of fighting and going away, or what is it like? But as you watch further and further, you see that each episode unlayers something else. You get to know something more about them. I think that was very well done. Like, you are hooked until the end.
I think there were twists at the end of each episode, right?
Right.
We never expected that the leads were dating each other, or it could be something like they knew each other. Each episode ended with a nice twist. So I liked that.
A revelation on past, which was not the flow of the rest of the episode, but the end was like, okay, you know what, this happened. They did that really well. Must have put a lot of thoughts in that.
Very, very well. So building up on this, what would you sell as the USP of this drama to get the listeners to watch it?
Yeah, so I think if you guys like good-hearted dramas, something like Homecha, you should definitely watch this. Because there are no negative characters, there's no evil characters that are there in OBS. And I did find a few of my friends who had already watched Our Beloved Summer. And I think pretty much everyone's answer was the same. They like that the story is cute and the leads are cute. And it's like a perfect concoction of love and friendship between all the other characters. It was also a nice mixture of comedy, so... putting all this together, I think you should definitely watch it.
For me, biggest USP is how they told the story. And typically when you switch timelines, past and present, it becomes complex and difficult to follow. But they did it so well. First of all, it was not so much a challenge to keep track so much. Moreover, you were curious about both the past and present timelines. That hook and that writing that they did, they really sustained it. And obviously, you hope the moment you figured out, okay, they were together, which is like at the end of first episode, you obviously hope, okay, in present day, will they get together or not? But you know what? Even when will they happens, you're still curious to see, oh, now what will they do? And that is rare, right? Because typically that's where you're supposed to end the story that, okay, they got together. But it was not about that at all. And along the way, I felt that almost every episode had relationship lessons. I agree with Deepak, there was nothing negative. But having said that, even the positive characters are not central to the story. And this is not a K-drama usual USP. K-dramas focus a lot on giving individual arcs to separate characters and close their story, give enough footage to that. Here, frankly speaking, Kim Ji Young's entire arc felt extra to me, you know. It didn't really matter much. What mattered was Yoon Suk and Cho Young's story. And their loved people, their parents, their grandmother, all of them, they were there together to enhance their story, to tell where Yoon Suk comes from, where Cho Young comes from. So I thought this was really special that somebody could, you know, write purely about putting the relationship at the center of it.
Yeah, for me, it was... well-written characters, like all of us have discussed, they're very wholesome characters, written very well. Great music. The title track is mind-blowing. Like, it's a hook to you. When you listen to that title track, when the titles are coming, you're like, wow, what is this? And lovely locales. It's really beautiful. Very well shot cinematography, the soft focus lighting that they had given. It's very well shot. And Choi Woo-sik's humor, I always dig it. He is spontaneous. You can see the twinkle in his eyes when he makes those very silly, stupid things that he does in the drama to irritate Yoon Soo or with his other friends when he's playing a prank or pulling a fast one on them. He always has this twinkle in his eye, which is, I don't know, it's very sweet to watch.
And he looked young. I mean, like he's 32 years old, but he looked much younger. And that had a lot to do with the twinkle in the eye that you're talking about and his expression.
So I think to answer Poonam's question, I think I was watching their interview post the show. I think he lost around 9 kilos to fit that uniform and look young.
Wow.
Deepak, you shouldn't tell all these facts like that. You should just let us believe there's a magic in there.
Yeah, the drama does feel like magic.
Everything, Sangeeta, when you were saying it was so beautiful, even the credits when they roll in. I mean, I typically, you know, skip intro, right. But I actually used to listen to this one because it felt very pleasurable. Meena, you haven't said anything.
No, because you all covered already what I had to say. Poonam spoke about my favorite part, which was the transition between past and present. I thought the writing was... should I say this word? Yes, it was exquisite, exquisite. The linkages that the writer brought about between the past and present and how it reverses also in the roles between the characters, I thought was beautiful. And like my complaint with K-dramas has been, if you're showing me a rom-com, show me about the couple. The focus suddenly starts shifting to the side characters. I'm not interested. Poonam nailed it that this drama kept us hooked to both of them. And we've discussed this often and we all came up with the same points that that's what we loved about this drama. Music was fantastic. My God, I listened to this whole soundtrack, all the songs, all of them. Home, Christmas Tree, Drawer. I don't know how these guys brought about those expressions to tie in with the songs also. Sometimes the songs are just running in the background. But Kim Tami and Che Woosik, I think, elevated those songs to another level. So for me, these were the USPs and of course the aesthetics. And I will mention there's a collage in one of the episodes which shows their kisses at different stages of their relationship. I have never seen such a beautiful collage done. I mean, no drama has done this. The aesthetics were so pretty. Che Woosik's workspace is what I desire for, where I want to work. His workspace was gorgeous. So much thought and detailing has gone in making this whole drama.
Even the drawings, Che Woosik's drawings, they've shown so many drawings in detail. They've actually made the artist who did those drawings really do all those and show in perfect detail, right? Not just as if it's work in progress and he's working on it or whatever. That is mind-blowing.
Exactly. Thanks to one of the Twitter users, I found the artist on Instagram. And we will share the link, and our handle does follow that artist. And while on the music, you know, the title track, what was going on Twitter, and I've never seen this again happen. People picked up clippings of other dramas and edited it to the title track of OBS. And can you believe they actually made dramas like Stranger, Mouse get a very rom-com feel? That is the rage this title track had. All right, that was our non-spoiler sections. If we have got you guys interested, then you can start listening to our next section where we are going to talk about our favorite characters. What were the traits we loved about them? And did you feel any other character could have got more screen space?
For me, Oong and Kukyeonso, like we discussed, they are the main characters. They are the drivers of the entire story. So Chaeyoung, I was hooked right from episode one. He looked like this proper silly weirdo character, and at the end of the episode when he throws that water and salt on her eyes, I just that cracked up.
That scene was amazing.
That was so hilarious. I was like, what is this guy doing? Why is he closing the door? I knew that there's something between these two. It was sort of coming to that, so you could see that there's probably past something, whatever, and then you see that this guy's just going and closing the door. I thought maybe he's avoiding her. He doesn't even want to see her or whatever. He's going to say, okay, go away. And
then he comes back.
Goes and gets this water bottle. That was hilarious. I was like, wow, this is something I cannot stop watching. So those two characters, really, I love them. Yoon-soo, because she's so calm and collected, and all the time you can see that she has this inner strength. You can see that she's mentally very strong throughout, be it at work or her personal life. You can see that other people probably look at her as snooty or somebody who doesn't interact with them too much or not very social or whatever, because that's the vibe that she gives to her colleagues also. And generally when we hear from Oong's manager when he talks about her, that's the vibe you get. But you can see that she is not just that. There is something very deeper to her, and she's a strong female. Those two I've totally loved. I also love Jo Bok-rae's character. He's the director, Ji-woong's boss. I love Jo Bok-rae in most of his dramas. In Navilera, and he's the Ji-sung's friend in Entertainer. He is like this healer for me. I mean, not the drama healer, but I'm saying a healing person. So he has this calming effect on people. Like, you can see that when he's talking also, he has this voice modulation where he's so quiet and nice. Of course, not all roles are like that. But he has that effect. When I see him on screen, I'm like, okay, if Jo Bok-rae is there, there is something good about this drama. There's something nice that's going to happen to this drama. Because both Entertainer and Navilera, I've loved them for the exact same reason. They're very positive, uplifting, and leave you on a very happy and healthy note. So I love Jo Bok-rae's character also exactly for that.
When Poonam said in the second rewatch, we appreciated the humor in this drama, Jo Bok-rae's also, some of his scenes are hilarious, where he's trying to, you know, grab attention to himself or tell Ji-young to snap out of his snobbishness. So, and it's very natural and organic, then how he picks up on Chae-ran's affections, etc. So small things.
Also, when Jiyoung is about to call him out for not giving him people, how he kind of dodges all the answers
yes.
and all that.
Very nice to have him around. At least Jiyoung needed somebody like him around.
True.
I think my favorite character is, of course, Wong. Because he was very weird. Like, he is the guy who is 167th rank. He is not interested to study. And he is super weird, and he compares himself to a nice Shih Tzu. I think it's the dog's name is Jong Jong. And then he likes to keep his name and face a secret, even though he's famous. And very quirky, like he comes and sprays water and throws salt on his ex. You know? And I'm like, why is this character so? And also, this character had so many layers. And that's why he's my favorite, because he's so well-read. He has read all the books in the library, as much as what Kuksu has read. And then he takes care of his friends when they're unwell. And even when he fires his manager, right, he compensates. He gives so much space to his partner, like his ex. He doesn't go and cling on to her. And I think he waited quite a long time until after the breakup and reunion to ask, Why exactly did we break up, etc. Like, he is very quirky and funny at the same time, but he's also a very complex character. Like, he loves his parents and he knows exactly what he wants to do.
Which is nothing, right? He doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, that's my spirit animal. Exactly. I love that dialogue.
In the webtoon also, when I was reading, this character has been introduced, like, when the director asks, oh, what is your goal in life? He says, I want to do nothing. I just want to grow up. I just want to chill, and I don't. And we work hard, and I want to retire early because I want to do nothing. So guys want to do nothing, but this girl is like, how can someone have no aim in life? How can someone be so clueless? And he did exactly that. So he grew up. He worked hard. He became an artist, and just to do nothing. He just wants to sleep all day and lie around under a tree. So that's why he's my favorite character.
But he's also very quirky. Huh? For 5 years, he was practicing God knows how many times to spray water and sprinkle salt. He practiced. I'm like, who does this? Who does this?
I know, to have the presence of mind to actually go and do that when she visits you. To actually think that he wanted to do this and actually goes and does that.
But he's practicing, no. That's like his Pavlov reaction. See, you throw water. Say hello later.
Like, the chances of them bumping into each other is like zero, because he works in a night shift. He is sleeping throughout the day and he works throughout the night, and she is not even in his locality, and still he on somewhere in, on top of his mind,
he wants to do this. He wants to do this.
So evil, not, I would not say evil, the Schadenfreude, right? Like, he loves to watch other people yeah. suffer, even though there is their best friends. Or you can remember that scene, right, where he eats peaches with you.
It's one of my favorites.
He knows that he has allergy. He's going to suffer, but hey, I'm going to be part of that. And he agrees to do the documentary again after the documentary goes viral with Koo Kyun Soo, just because she hates it, and he wants her to suffer so much. He's like, I don't mind suffering. I will be part of the documentary. But he's like this funny guy who will go to any extent to extract revenge or see some of his most beloved people suffer.
Instead of reaching out and finding out like why this happened, he waited passively practicing spray water on her. How can somebody be like that for 5 years? Like, we are not talking about a week or a month or a day. 5 years. That kind of patience, that kind of strength or ability to go through that kind of pain, it's out of this world for me. I don't understand it. I can't deal with it for even a couple of weeks for that matter.
So Poonam, who are your favorite characters?
My favorite, obviously I like the lead couple, but I have always been team Yunsu.
Me too.
Yeah, I think we have always said it throughout the
water. Yes.
When we talk more, I am going to talk about this more. And Ong's relationship teaches me a lot. It gives me a very different kind of takeaway. But Yunsu is somebody I actually relate to. Like Sangeeta was saying, she looks aloof and she looks strict and all of that. But you know what? Ong knew exactly how sweet and soft and how vulnerable she was. People may say that Yunsu was hard on him, but she wasn't. In fact, There is a dialogue later where she says that you finished university purely because of me. Yoon-soo was driven and yet she accepted this Ung, who actually doesn't want to do anything. But she ensured that he was in a place where he could do anything with his life. She used his love for her in a very positive manner, which, like I said, in 25-21, in relationship, you do give something to each other, which is irreplaceable. Even if you have broken up, you have moved your different paths, you do give something to each other which cannot be taken back, which is a contribution to each other's life. And Yoon-soo did that. Her relationship with her Harmony, her grandmother, is one of my favorites. They tease each other very well, they understand each other very well. Her Harmony is her like guide philosopher. She's like, don't let anybody treat you badly, always keep your head high. And that teaching is exactly why Yoon-soo is how she is. This is why she comes across as rude. So my heart goes to her, and I can obviously speak a lot about her. But my other favorite character is also Yoon-ho. I love Yoon-ho and Cho Young's relationship. And I also love Soli and Yoon-soo's friendship. I feel like Soli also does such great credit to Yoon-soo. When Yoon-soo is in dumps and she's regretful, obviously Yoon-soo is always regretful about a breakup. It's something she had to do, but she didn't want to do. And Soli says that don't ever look down upon yourself. You did so much. You paid off a debt. That's what you need in your girlfriends, isn't it? So I loved these three characters a lot, a lot. Obviously, we will talk about the parents. They were my favorite as well. I'll leave it for you to speak about, Meenal.
Yeah. I'll add one more special mention. So I loved the kids who played the lead characters, yes, when they were showing the flashback. It was damn cute. And I remember one of these really funny scenes where I think Unga climbs up the tree.
The assignment. That's it.
And like Poonam was saying, I think to the character whom I most related to, I think it was Koo Kyun-soo's boss, because he's the guy who was experiencing all the fun, and he's the guy who comes to know last. He's the only person who doesn't know what's happening. So that happens for me in real life.
And he's so much more liked and involved by his team members.
He's the exact opposite of typical K-drama bosses.
Yes.
K-drama bosses push the team for team dinners. They are the ones who bully the team into getting coffees for them and all that. And here he's like, you want to grab coffee? All of us are like, we have coffee.
No, he'll get bullied.
And I think it's very clear that Yoon-soo is the mainstay of his organization. So if Yoon-soo doesn't want to go for team dinner, no team dinner. He's like, okay, alright.
But while you're on the director, okay, there was this one funny scene which I really cracked up, and I found it very relatable again. When Yoon-soo's dating and he says, you know, there is a rumor going around that you're dating. And I told them she has no love for humanity. She cannot she cannot be dating.
Yeah, I think in the initial episodes, Yoon-soo has been shown that she doesn't care about anybody's feelings, or even in the school documentaries, right? The initial recordings that they share with us, they show that she's just doing the documentary for the deposit money, or she's just making friends with Chunga because she doesn't care about others. She just wants to do whatever she wants, and etc. And then later, once the character development happens, we know how she is.
Yeah, even the parallels that they draw between Yoon-soo and the manager, Lee Junhyuk's character, manager Jang, they try to bring those parallels, and they try to say that they both are psychopaths and all that, sort of setting your mind like that, and then they unravel Yoon-soo's awesomeness.
See, Yoon-soo had that facade too for survival, so she wanted others to see that way, but that's not how she was. She was a genuine coconut.
So for me, yes, I was always team Yoon-soo from day one, episode one, scene one. The beauty of our beloved Summer One More is that every episode has a famous movie title. And episode 6, which is one of my favorite episodes, was coincidentally titled Pride and Prejudice, which is my favorite book and series. But this time the role was reversed, right? Yoon-soo is the one with the pride, the Darcy-like features. I think audience will lap up a guy who is rude, who is nasty or curt. They want female leads to be always softer. And Yoon-soo was nothing like that. Okay, she was in charge. She was in control. She was the driven person. I saw when the first 6 episodes were airing, people were, oh, she's, you know, too harsh. She's hard. She's this. She's that. I'm like, hang on. If that was a guy, you would be loving him for it, right? Oh, then the girl is going to come and change him and soften him. And so why can't the female lead be like that? I love that she was such a strong character.
And I hate this expectation that a female lead is supposed to take up a bad male lead and supposed to change him and
exactly.
Him, yeah? Why do we deserve to get already good and fixed men? Yeah.
Exactly. So all the more I became a team Yeonsu, but like Unam, I love the friendships. I think for us, yeah, family is great. I think Chaeyoung was very lucky. Yeonsu also was very lucky. They great support system at home. But I think friends also matter a lot. And when you are feeling alone, it's actually your friends who are just there with you. There doesn't need to be stated, come let me take care of you. I am there for you. None of these friends did that. They were there purely by their actions. Even Jiyoung and Ung, I actually liked their relationship a lot because that also had a lot of layers. But the way their understanding was with each other, even at a time where I know Chaeyoung knew that Jiyoung likes Ko Kyunsoo, but even Jiyoung didn't do much. He could have easily gone the wrong way and disturbed a lot of things, and he didn't do that at the end. So for me, those friendships were also very, very special to watch and how the relationships developed. So yeah, pretty wholesome cast. Yeah, I actually don't have any character I disliked in this drama as such.
For me, I hated NJ. I don't know why. I don't know. Everything about her, Ongwa is saying that, hey, I just want to be friends with you. And she's like, come on, man, let's go out. I'm going to bump into your house directly. And so many times I felt, oh my God, why is she spoiling the vibes of this drama?
I actually liked NJ.
As a woman, I thought that NJ was like sweetest. She pursued somebody in a very sweetest possible manner. Because Chaeyoung is a very passive person. He actually did not clarify or did anything like that. Moreover, she pegged him as this dorky person. So she thought that I will have to do that. So I thought that she was so honest to her beliefs. She did whatever she had to. And she was never negative ever. And she was always positive, vibey. She actually grew on me. Idol character, especially with blonde hair. They're not my thing, actually. Let me just say that. But she grew on me.
I think what I liked about her, honestly, was she asked both of them, am I coming between you both?
Yep.
She was very conscious of the fact that if there is something going on, I am not going to be the one who is the reason for them to be apart.
I shouldn't get hurt either. Chances of whenever people who keep going back together, it's other people who get hurt. Which is why people say that about friends, right? Rachel and Ross. They kept giving back and they kind of kept screwing other people's lives as well. So I think she was valid to ask this, is there something going on with you? Because a third party can never really know, especially NJ's world is completely different than Chaeyoung. She would only know what Ung tells her and how much he tells everybody. You guys know that already.
Yeah, I liked NJ for the age of her character. I think NJ was good, but I also disliked Jiyoung a lot. I just did not like a lot of things that he did in the drama.
Yeah, actually, I like the actor quite a bit, having seen him in other two dramas. So I really liked his acting. And I like people who are a little cold.
It's not the actor. Actor is okay. I mean, I neither liked him or disliked him. But I did not like the character at all. He was being a bad friend.
I mean, you all have your reasons why you disliked him. But I think that he did not do anything to damage Chaeyoung's and Yeonsoo's relationship, nor his relationship with the parents. And he was always, I felt he was under obligation because Chaeyoung's parents gave him so much love that his own mother couldn't. He always had consciously that I cannot hurt these people. And I understand you come at a stage in life where, you know, he's had issues because of his mother. His heart is broken completely.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just cannot control how you feel. I think Jiyoung was in that state, but like I said, he could have gone negative. He could have gone all out to seek Yeonsoo and get her attention. He did nothing of that because I think he loved Ung a lot. Because at his worst, lowest point in as a kid, it was because of Ung that he found his family, his found family and the love that he got. So, I was very neutral with the guy. I mean, I didn't dislike him.
I didn't dislike it. I just thought his energy and his entire arc of his mom always deterred, you know, absolutely, leaving him behind. I just thought it was just an extra arc to Yeonsoo and Ung's story.
Yeah, it was not needed at all. Exactly.
It didn't add value to the story. Like I said, it didn't add. But because I was not so invested in the other characters, it didn't impact me as much. I'm like, yeah, okay, tell me more about Yeonsoo and Ung, what is going on. So I'm like, okay, I can ignore that.
Also for me, he was like the PD in Homecha. It's like, what the hell were you doing all this while? They were, okay, they had drifted apart and they were waiting for things to fall in place. What the hell were you doing? He could have gone and spoken to her. He could have gone and met her. Again, why does he have to interfere when they both are getting together and they both are sort of talking and getting all these things sorted? So it was the same feeling which I had in Homcha, that it was not required at all. You need not have to come up with these feelings and have all this second thoughts, these stupid feelings that you're not required.
Actually, I thought Homcha resolved the love triangle issue really well compared to other K-dramas. You know, the way Shinmina and GPD's conversation happened was so maturely done. I'm like, thank you so much. This is how it should be. And I like the fact that he had to tell her to get over and move on himself.
Exactly. That's the thing. Ji-young doesn't even do that, which is what I was annoyed with. Because he's not even telling, he's not moving on. He just has this annoying presence in the drama, which is not required at all.
It would have been much better if Kim Ji-young had actually expressed whatever he felt to Yoon-soo earlier.
Exactly.
Later.
Yeah,
probably
it would have been a lot better.
Do it because of his loyalty to Cho-young in between men friends. I don't know, Deepak, you can correct me. Apparently, it is a very non-negotiable reason to pick on somebody else's girlfriend before he could go and tell her.
It is bro code.
Yeah, bro code. Aung comes and tells her, I got myself a girlfriend. What could he do? Probably, but even so, instead of keeping it on for years and years and not resolving it, it would have been a much better thing to be honest about it.
I think for him, loyalty did matter. Because of him, he found the best set of parents in the entire universe. So he was indebted to Unga. And also, I think guys are not comfortable dating the same person or even revealing that. So they would rather step aside and watch the drama or hold back his friend from getting more hurt. So I think Ji-young did that. So I kind of like this character, but I was not sure why he was feeling so lonely. He had the best boss. He had the best colleague who was like spilling it her heart for him. And then he had the best set of parents and he had Unga to take care of him. And I somehow felt like that he was so lonely and so lost or broken. So I think they could have at least eliminated few of those scenarios from his life. So
having a mother who abandons you all the time, yeah, it's a big burden for any child to carry. I totally understand that. That would have overshadowed despite the presence of great boss or great friends in life. It's a very difficult thing to live with. I understand that. I don't have a problem with the character writing. I somehow understand even the motivation. It's just that I didn't need to see it.
I think he was too caught up in his self-pity and misery a lot more that he failed to see the positives around him and move on with his life. I think he was stuck. He was stuck in a limbo, in a rut.
Right. Yeah.
Should we talk about the parents who we all loved so much?
Yes. I think they're the best set of parents ever. They didn't pressurize the child. They didn't say that, hey, tu bada hoke doctor banega, engineer banega or any such thing. So they just... And they were so nice, like they couldn't believe that their son is famous and that people are paying money to come and watch their son draw. And they're like, are you talking about my son? Are you sure he's a celebrity? And even if some of their Unga's friends walk by, they always pack food for them. And then they remember the other friend's birthdays. And I could go on about them forever. So please.
Some of these things are shown in most Korean parents, that they take care of their child's friends and all of these things. It's just that the actors who played this couple, they did it with a lot of sweetness and warmth, like a lot of humor. It was very lightly done with the humor, which is why they stick. By the way, Meenal, is this the father the same person who was the restaurant owner in Again My Life, the Lee Joon-gi's father? Are they the same people?
No. This guy was an Argon.
Somehow I got the same vibe from Lee Joon-gi. His father, I mean, that parent set, and this parent set, I got a similar vibe from both of them.
I had thought the same, but no, he's actually was in Argon. But you know, the mom was in Descendants of the Sun, the nurse. I loved her there also, and here also she was fantastic. A lot of these actors, I don't know whether it was the director or the writing, got them to speak through their eyes a lot. Second rewatch, I was observing everybody's eyes during their scenes when there were no dialogues and you knew exactly what they were emoting.
Even the parents' actions, like Poonam said, you see a lot of these scenes in other K-dramas also where their parents are feeding other children, children's friends and all that. Sometimes they're like, parents are being very pushy, or they're being this overly affectionate, or in some dramas you do get that feeling.
Yeah.
But here they were very normal. I mean, they were not over dramatic. They were not being too pushy. They were being just sweet and warm.
Even when Koo Kyun Soo came to the restaurant and they say, why aren't you coming often? Yeah, they're not pushing Ganga that, hey, come on, get back together. Right. Stuff like that. So they didn't do the typical K-drama parent thing.
And their biggest ambition for Cho Young is that pull out the cabbages.
But the mom's role elevated for me is, having seen how badly Chaeyoung took the breakup,
yeah,
being the mother and knowing that she had broken up with him, you will obviously hamper negative feelings towards Yeonsu, right?
True, but she doesn't.
When they meet after 5 years, the first thing she asks her, and I don't think anybody has asked Yeonsu this, is, even before she says, it must have been very hard for you to, what level of understanding and maturity it takes from. And that is why she was like an awesome mom for me. Not just for Chaeyoung, but for everybody she was. Yeah, so I checked on the father. He was the psychiatrist of Nam Joo Hyuk in Weightlifting Fairy Kim Book 2. And he was the right-hand man, the deputy to Kim Joo Hyuk's character in Argon. That's where we've seen him.
Yeah, that guy looks familiar, and he has a fantastic comic timing, by the way. His neighbor, Kim Shik, what is his name? The neighbor who comes in, who keeps interrupting their videos. Yeah, that guy, whenever he keeps coming, that banter is really fun to watch each time in the videography. Really, really, I enjoyed those scenes. And even on the second watch, I did watch them.
Same, yeah. Another scene is, he's not happy that Chaeyoung is going abroad, right? So he tells him, we have a problem. The car has run out of gas. I'm like, so Yaar was amazing. And even when Chaeyoung gives him money for the fish rod, he's so thrilled to bits. It's like, my son has become so big and famous. They needed some small things to make them happy, which was so amazing.
But they keep Chaeyoung as like a little baby only. They have zero expectations of him. All they want to know is sleeping well.
Yeah.
And they want him to come and help at the restaurant for little things. So they don't expect a lot out of him, and they still treat him as a little sweet baby who has to sleep well.
Did we cover all the characters?
I think we have to discuss Yuno and Soli properly.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For me, Yuno was such fun. Such fun. In fact, if Ung did not have Yuno, those scenes could have become really serious and really depressing. And one of the reasons the drama keeps the angst at the right level is how they have harnessed the humor. And
yes,
even in some of the saddest scenes when Ung is sad and going through a lot, it's Yuno who keeps the banter going. And by the way, I really love how he is as a manager. As in, he never forgets himself. Even though he cares for Ung a lot, he's always sure to say, do his managerial duties, and also to tell, I need a raise, or you need to do this for me, or exercise.
Yeah.
Or he likes NJ. He's always on a different trip about NJ, and he speaks his mind, and he's like, oh, Yoonsoo, why did Yoonsoo come back to you? Oh, Yoonsoo came. Yoonsoo came to you for work. I was
And his reaction when he finds out that they both are together, right? It's like as if he had a major heartbreak. You're like, you guys are together and I didn't know.
Exactly, that's what I was saying. He gets to know the last and he's like, why am I the last to know?
This scene was so similar to Reply 1988, where Lee Dongmi's character comes to know, is the last one to know that Sunwoo's character is in love with Bora, and that he actually had a crush on Bora and were dating. Everybody knew one part of the relationship, but this guy knows nothing. The expressions were the same. I was like, poor thing, the best friends come to know the last from these guys.
And also, Yunho was very nice in his relationship with Soli as well, how he protected her from that useless ex. So I thought that even though the character looked frivolous, but there was major depth and substance to him in the actions.
He's very thoughtful.
And even his parents, how much he goes and helps Ung's parents whenever he's free. And apparently he's not even charging them for it. You know, he's like, no, I just want to go and help them because when I need it, they gave me work. So this unconditional love between all these characters was so amazing to watch, and you want people like that around you all the time.
True.
Another thing is, for example, I don't speak to my family or anybody actually a lot. But typically my sister, when she used to live with me, she used to tell about me to my parents. You know, it's like that. Ung doesn't go and tell his parents. He's the one who keeps reporting about the parents. He's sleeping a lot. He's doing this and that, etc. So he is that major connect in Ung's life. So he takes care of Ung's life and career as well as he does some good things. So he's a very heartwarming character.
And you know one thing I love? They love their friends, but they also show them the mirror. Yeah, like Uno is all the time telling them, Chaeyoung is weird, Chaeyoung is strange, I don't know how he became successful. But on the other hand, when Chaeyoung is thinking that I'm a worthless person, he says, look, 5 years ago after the breakup, you were at your lowest and you told yourself you're going to make something out of your drawing and your artist. See where you are today. I think you need somebody to balance you out so well. I think Uno was a great, great character. I loved all his scenes. Yeah, I didn't skip anything even on the rewatch.
Nor did I.
I think I found Solil very familiar, and she's also a good friend. Like she was like a woman who wants a friend to succeed. She wants a friend to get out of debt. So I think it's always good to have friends who kind of celebrate your success, and when you kind of let them down, you don't take it to your heart.
And both these guys, both Uno and Soli also, they're not being these nosy friends also. Whoever you're still sorting your feelings for, they're not trying to push you both together or push you away or whatever it is. They're not interfering in the relationship. They're just watching by the sidelines and they're whatever helping when required. That's all.
And they're very observant. I remember there's one scene where Yunsu is telling the camera, because if first 2 days, both Yunsu and Ung decide to tell their own thing, which is to waste the time. And Yunsu's like, I'm a very active person. I go for a walk and etc. And she's doing all this drama in front of the camera. And Soli is like, oh, you like it. It's not that you don't like it. And the actress playing Soli has superb comic timing as well.
She comes in so many serials, but in her private life also, she's the best friend of Park Min-young, and she's excellent. She's the only one supporting her fangirl, and she's up against everybody who like try to be condescending towards Park. So she plays these best friend characters really well.
Yeah, even in It's Okay to Not Be Okay.
She's there. Right.
She's hilarious in that.
She's in Jealousy Incarnate as well.
She's come in many dramas. Jinju, right? Her name? Park Jinju, I think her name is.
Yeah. Park Jinju.
My favorite scene of her is when she, after that congratulations celebration, by the way, what is that bizarre banner they have it in the rooms? Is wrong. So after the drunk party, when Yunsu is talking to Kim Ji-hyun, and there comes Soli, she's in a cardboard box and she's falling off the road. So Yunsu is like, okay, that's one fantastic entry, by the way. And then Yunsu takes her home and they ask, why can't she go to her own home? And she's like, you cannot believe it or not, she's daughter of a religious fanatic. And then she gets up from the sleep and she's like, I love Jesus. I love all the right things that she, you know, any religious nut would say, she would like wake up from her sleep and say, what?
But she's also brutal to Yunsu, when Yunsu lands up drunk twice at her restaurant, she's like, I'm going to send her to the police. I need to send her to the police. I can't handle this anymore. And when she discovers how rich Chaeyoung has become and successful, she's like, in the drunken stupor state of hers in the party, she says, can you sign me a 200 million won check or something like that? She says that I need the money from him. She's very focused, and when she sees even Yuno's Chaeyoung gives him his final payment before going off her studies, she looks at the amount, she's like, can we do business as partners together? She's like, my restaurant needs funding.
Exactly. And their whole friendship and relationship also, him trying to sort of help her with the ex, that crazy ex coming into her life and all that. You see that Uno is sweetly helping her clean those crabs. He's helping her with the restaurant. And
it's not like a romantic relationship. It's more like platonic.
Exactly. Just being there for each other.
Yeah.
Very good. Very sweet.
And I think about another character whom actually felt, even one of my friends, Yukti, she told me that she felt that the grandma character, we all thought that she is a figment of her imagination. And too isolated. And we always thought that there's something wrong with Yunsu and she must be keep imagining her grandma every time, that whenever she's down, she like, a grandma will come and pep her up. But finally we know that she's a real character.
Thank God they didn't complicate.
Then it would have been a mental head drama. Grandma and Yunsu also had a fun banter relationship as well. I remember there was one scene, the grandma is admiring NJ on TV. And
Am I not pretty? I'm your granddaughter. Don't you think you should say I'm pretty?
She's also somebody's granddaughter. She's like, what kind of excuse is this?
But I also like that despite their situation and the debt they were in, she never let Yunsu feel any complex about herself. She was always there. She's like, I'll come and fight who has been saying things to you.
And even Yunsu doesn't hold a grudge with her grandmother, right? Because all surrender, it's not even her parents' deaths she's in a problem with. It's somebody who's related to her, some uncle that she had to fill the debts for just because her grandmother asked her. And she never resents that. I think that was very sweet between those two. Because, I mean, all surrender and finally, it's only they both that they have for each other. Correct.
I also love the scene when Chaeyoung goes to meet the grandmom after the Let's Be Friends episode, and the grandmom just fires the hell out of him, and the guy is totally flabbergasted, like, what did I do wrong? Your granddaughter broke up with me. Like, my God, the expressions.
He's like, I don't even know why I'm dumb. I'm having to hear this from you.
We should have expected that from Onga's parents.
Correct.
Because they were nice to her. But here, it's the other way around. It's not pure Kotwal Kutta.
Exactly. But that also showed how protective she was about her granddaughter, right? So I loved that. Yeah. And see, this is the thing about elders. Not all of them will accept their faults. Not all of them will say, okay, I made a mistake. When Yunsu tells her the truth behind the breakup, next time when he comes, how beautifully she tells him to take care of her.
True, she's very gentle and sweet to him.
That shows the true character of the person, which beautiful. You need elders like this around you. So I thought that was really well done. So you want to kickstart with your favorite scenes?
What kind of scenes? Emotional, funny?
Let's start with the emotional ones and then go to the funny ones.
And this will have some spoilers for sure. So
definitely, yes.
So two of mine, one is for me, unforgettable scene is the breakup scene. Because we knew sort of Yunsu's side. We first see the breakup scene and it does look like that Yunsu broke it off and you don't know. But when you know Yunsu's side and that scene comes up again, it was extremely heartbreaking for me. There is this dialogue which I will never forget. As I see it, there is only one thing that I can let go of, that is you. And if you don't have that context, it sounds very rude. It sounds like you are being made to feel nothing and abandoned. But when you know the context, your heart breaks because you now know that the person did not have any choice. And this scene has made me think a lot. And I understand that so many times it's not easy to even explain the reason. The fact that she had courage enough to tell him straight upfront is also a big deal. And I know that that also sometimes doesn't happen in a relationship. But I don't think telling that reason would have helped either of them at that particular point of time. And I don't think she could have even said that. So for me, it's an indelible mark on my heart. I can never forget that scene. And the second one is also related to Yunsu. All the what if questions that Yunsu asked, they were a big, big window into her character that showed how vulnerable she was. This girl who showed to the world that she is this tough nut. That girl is so vulnerable when it comes to her boyfriend, who is totally different. She's driven and he's completely non-driven. And in world's eyes, he must look inferior to her. But she's so vulnerable and she wants reassurances that he loves her. She wants to hear these words. And she says in that voiceover, she says that I could see that he loves me a lot. And he did, because when he would say, she would say that, what if I start dating somebody else? And he said, I'm going to get Kim Ji Young to watch over you. And I was like, dude, you don't even know what Kim Ji Young feels about that. He would never offer her those words which she wanted to listen, and which is why she kept asking those what if questions. So for me, I could see that both of them loved and both of them want to be reassured by each other. But they were not giving exactly in those words what they wanted. So that scene always pushes and pulls me.
The thing is, when she says that you are the only thing I can let go, and she says that I could escape my harsh reality only when I was with Ung. The real happiness in her life was when she was with him. And to let go of that, it was must have been so heartbreaking and difficult for her.
Yeah,
I think for me, the heart-forming scene was how Kook Yunsu was shown as she's a girl with a lot of pride and she doesn't like to share or doesn't allow people to come into a circle. She didn't share her grief with her best friend Solil or with her grandma. She used to lock herself into the washroom, turn on the taps and keep crying silently. So I think those scenes kind of brought a window into her grief for me, and it was very sad. And then I think again it's about Koo Kyun Soo. Whenever Unga used to be angry with her, right, especially at the exhibition, he walks in on her and says, "You're the reason because of you my life is miserable." He is blaming her for how he has become in his life. So and the other scene, again, it's about Yoon Soo, is when Unga's exhibition flopped because of a negative review from one of the critics. And then he is also heartbroken that she has not shown up for the exhibition. He comes home and he sees Yoon Soo, she's crying on his doorstep and she's in a lot of pain. And then he forgets all about what happened in his life and he just goes and takes care of her. So these are the three scenes that they were like very heartwarming for me.
The last scene that you described, Deepak, still cut that SBS put up of Yoon Soo sitting.
Yeah.
These actors have brought in so much through their expressions. You see that picture and you know what is the guilt.
You see how vulnerable she is in that scene.
Beautifully shown, beautifully. Dami's eyes are so expressive, like so expressive.
I know.
Even in the scenes where she gets shocked with Oom's actions in the funny ones, and her expressions just give it all. You don't need anything more.
She's like Bambi. It's huge eyes and
huge eyes, lovely eyes.
No, I agree with the Bambi thing. That's how I think of her.
Lovely eyes, lovely, lovely eyes.
Then like thin Bambi, very, you know, how little and thin and sweet, petite that she is, that fits the Bambi figure very so well.
Yeah. So for me, the most heartbreaking scene was when we got to see Oom's past. This is a very common running theme that we see across K-dramas. In so many K-dramas, you see this child being abandoned by one parent, two parents, and it always breaks your heart. Why do you have to bring a child into this world and just abandon them like this? So till that time, you're still trying to understand and process Oong's attitude towards life or Yoon Soo. And there are they give a lot of hints in between, like that what if series of questions also. When she asks, what if I suddenly abandon you and go? He just gives this blank stare at her, which speaks a lot after you see his past, right? Then when you see this, then you think that, oh, wow, that scene had a lot of meaning. At that time, when you're watching, you're like, maybe there's something to it, but I don't know. You just ignore that and move on. So I think that abandonment scene was very heartbreaking, to know that this is what has happened to him and that's why he turned out to be like this and that's why this whole relationship panned out this way. You feel very bad for Oong.
She is the first person he speaks about it also, and how
right.
Even that comes as a sudden shock,
yes.
Right?
And actually she has a similar reaction like all of
Correct.
Us would do. When you would know this about Oong, how you would feel, Yoon Soo has a similar reaction. She's like, oh, I did not know this. I mean, then it hits her that what she has said or what she has done, how it has impacted, everything hits her at that point of time.
And not only Oonga's abandonment, but he also knows that his step-parents, they've also lost a child.
Yes,
so
yeah,
he doesn't want to let their parents know that he knows. So there's so many things. He's already suffering and he doesn't know why his girlfriend broke up with him. And then he doesn't know why his parents abandoned him. And then he doesn't know what happened to his step-parents' child. And so many incidents are happening in his life, but still he has a hope. And then he gets back together with Yoon Soo. So that is so nice. Yeah.
I thought it was a very difficult thing to happen to anybody, that your adopted parents have also had a loss, and one day in a year, every day they mourn it. It can cause loads of insecurities.
Exactly. Misunderstandings, insecurities. A lot of problems could have arisen from that. But
Absolutely.
He just observes.
Yeah, and I think that also helps because Unga's personality is also a very large-hearted and accepting. Like Kim Ji-young when talks about that, he was more than happy to share his parents and he never showed an insecurity or anything like that. In fact, he jokes, you are more my parents' style than I am.
He says, my parents might give off the restaurant to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jaehyung's large-heartedness is also evident when he comes to know that Jaehyung likes Ko Kyung-soo He stays by his side and he doesn't want to talk about it. He stays by his side because he says, you can even come home and stay with me. My house is your house. He never forgets that. He never ever forgets that. So he's a far sorted character if you think about it in terms of his pair. Loved ones.
I would not go as far as to say that he is a very sorted character.
No, with his feelings. For his loved ones, he knows. He will not hurt them.
But I do think his good heart also helped him keep his relationships around his friends and his parents really warm. I think Ko Kyung-soo was his weakness. Yes. His abandonment issues did crop up with her.
Yeah, absolutely. So while on that with Ung's abandonment, I think that last episode scene when I was watching yesterday night and between his mother and him, where he says, did you know that I knew? I really welled up because both of them showed such perfection in their acting. And then she says, true, we were never disappointed in you. And that's all that he needed to hear to move on with his life. I think it was beautifully done. And though I did wish that we had got little more story, how they lost their son and how they brought Ung into their life. I would have loved to see that a little more.
Right. His childhood and probably how their bond developed, how their bond grew. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think I would have loved to see that more. That was my only small crib about the drama, I think.
It's just like a wish list, actually. Not even a crib. Yeah, I would have loved that.
It can extend to another season 2 to show us about it.
Season 2 has to be their married life if they have to.
I think it ends with the scene where they announce that they're married. So
they say the people want to see your married life. I had tweeted, I am one of those people. Please show me that documentary.
Yeah, and they can at least make a movie out of it. Yeah, if not a drama.
Exactly. Exactly. So for me, 3 scenes really stood out. And obviously they were, again, Ko Kyung-soo and Jung. Is end of episode 6 when Ung comes at her doorstep and wants to know whether she slept at his place, which is why he could sleep well. By God, I've cried so much at that scene because Kim Dami's gesture, when he asked just 2 questions to her, was it hard for you? And the way she drops her head. I have watched that scene so many times that you feel the pain that she's going through. And then she says, it was my pride that told me that I could live without you and how wrong she was. Her vulnerability again came out brilliantly in that scene. It's one of my most favorite scenes. I am in love with Choi Woo-sik's wistful eyes. He's crying and he's happy and longing. He shows it through his eyes. I didn't think that they would top the scene. And then there was episode 11 when he tells her, sitting in the restaurant, that please keep loving me. I have missed you so much. And she doesn't say yes. There is no dialogues. She just keeps nodding her head and she's crying buckets. I'm like, what level of acting showdown is going on? Yeah, stop doing this to my heart. But I loved those 2 scenes. I've watched them a lot of times. And my last favorite one was Jaehyung. Throughout the drama, we are told that he doesn't draw people. His most loved people, until Yoon-soo walked in, were his parents. And they've shown a scene preceding the scene. When will you draw us? When will you draw us? They keep asking, when will you draw Appa? When will you draw Amma? And he's just smiling. And in the last scene, when he gives the book to her, the first person he's drawn was Ko Kyung-soo. When the first time he saw her, and then he just says, will you marry me? One of my best marriage proposals in K-dramas. Yes, there and then, yes. So these were 3 of my favorite emotional scenes, which I love to go back to.
I also loved the last few scenes between Yoon-soo and the grandmother.
Yes.
Because the grandmother, she tries to sign up for this community living thing.
Correct.
And Yoon-soo doesn't want her to. I felt it was very touching and warm because for Yoon-soo, she's the only family that's left. Grandmother was trying to do what's best for Yoon-soo because she knows that she'll get married and she'll go away, and she doesn't want Yoon-soo to be burdened by thinking about what will happen to me, how will I live and all that, so might as well just go live in a community thing. But Yoon-soo says, no, as long as we are around, we are there for each other, you cannot do this. It was very, very, very touching.
Even that dialogue when she makes the decision to stay and she realizes that she actually enjoys her work. She's telling her grandmom, everybody was around me. Right. You were around me. Soli was there. My manager, who was her senior from school. So we come to know her. There were so many people who loved Yunsu for what she was. But again, she was so caught up in her own misery that she didn't realize that they were around me.
Right. She was not living the life.
Correct.
That's what she says.
That monologue with the grandmom sleeping, but she is telling it to her. Yeah. It's so beautifully shot. And you realize that, yes, we need to count our blessings a lot more. We don't do that, right? We are focusing on all the negatives in our life. I loved those scenes also.
I think that's the key takeaway here.
Yes,
like,
for me also.
For all the characters, all the four leads, they had so many positives in their lives, but they were all lonely or
and they were failing to see that.
The top romantic scene or the most heartwarming was once he comes back from abroad.
Oh, yes.
And then the first time I think he announces his love for her and he says, "I love you." So I was like, when is it gonna happen? When is he gonna
But dude, yeah, how can he not say "I love you" to her in 5 years of dating? I don't understand. I couldn't get my head around this, like, what is wrong with you?
They were dating each other when they were in school and then they broke up and then they came back together and then they did long distance relationship, but not even once he did go out and orally announce that he loves her. So that was a scene that kind of peaked for me. And
oh, I remembered one scene. So when they go on a trip and they come back, and when Yunsu really wants to take photos of him because she thinks that he's going to go away for 3 months. And at the bus stand, when they're on the return, when she's trying to take a photo and she says, "I think I love you." And when Deepak said that, he never says it. That scene suddenly popped into my head that she says it. And though he's extremely happy about it, because that entire trip, he was wondering, probably this is my last trip with her and she's going to dump me after that. And when she says that, he completely forgets his anxiety and that this is what he was thinking a second ago.
Yes.
And he's absolutely basking in it, happy in it. But it doesn't occur to him that somebody like him who needs so much validation and reassurance to say it back to reassure her.
He is not at all vocal. So he just shows his love for Yunsu with actions. Or he just believes that he has to be there for her and not abandon her. He doesn't believe in telling it aloud. So
though he needs to be told aloud. Because he concludes to Yunsu later that all my relationship was like this. You did what you felt like. You did what I just had to follow through. So he knows that there is a need to be said, but he himself doesn't say it.
I could relate to the initial hesitation because I was like that and I learned it from my husband. Had to be vocal and tell me, my then boyfriend, now husband, that Meenu, you need to say it a lot more often. I know you show it through your actions, but sometimes you need to hear the words. So I made that effort consciously. I didn't go 5 years without not telling my husband and my boyfriend I love him. Like, that was too much for me to digest. Like, how is Ong like this? Like, come on. And especially after someone has said it to you, it will naturally come out if you are that deep into the relationship as he was. And he still doesn't say it. So that I was like shocked to the core.
And she says it very naturally, organically, just as it comes to her.
Yeah.
Without
yeah.
any pride, without any shosha or making a celebration out of it. Just like that. And it's a realization and she just vocalizes it.
Yeah, but not him. It takes him 10 years and then he takes a trip on the plane to come and tell her about it.
Though he is positively glowing and upbeat.
What were the funny scenes?
Topmost is the one where he sprays water and throws salt. So that we have already
that had me hooked to the series.
Totally, yes.
But I also love the fact that Yunsu was such a sport. When he sprays, she's like, "Why you're not going to throw salt now?"
Yeah, it's as if how he's preparing for 5 years to throw water on her, she's preparing herself that someday I have to wear this.
Mr. Chang, he had told that you have to get the artist whom I want. That is non-negotiable. Her whole career depended on it. So she had to go. And no matter what he threw on her, she would have just stood there. And I think that one and we forgot to speak about the school days. So the school documentary was like literally, even I was reading the webtoon, it was literally continuous sequence of comedy. So how she looks at this guy, her first impression about Unga and everything. Like they literally hate each other on the screen. So whatever questions the director is asking, they answer opposite. So he says, "I want this," and she says, "No, I hate that," and so on. So they hated each other, but still they wanted to be in the documentary. he was in the documentary because his parents told him to, and she was in for the money, and the whole school sequence, that was the top comedy for me.
I mean, the first 15 minutes of episode 1 is them being totally petty.
Yeah.
Totally petty, that is the right word, totally. To each other. And it's hilarious.
They even fight for the space on the desk, right? Yeah. It's like, no, this is a boundary. They're not crossing.
You know, one of the things where she spoils his drawing and then he chases the hell out of her.
Then she ruins the drawing and he tells Joe Bokrek to switch off the camera. And she goes, don't turn off the camera. And then she goes for a run because she knows exactly why he is asking to switch off the camera. Look like they were real genuine kids. You know, you believe them that, you know, this is possible.
Yunsu gets into element of pettiness is, you know, after they finally kiss in episode 8, and then he says, oh, let's be friends. She just, I think, loses her shit completely.
Exactly. She's like, oh, you want to be friends? I'll show you how friends are.
She's like, bring it on.
I'll show you how you can be friends. Let's see. Let's try.
I love that. That's the best bit of teacher lesson. We are kids, but we will be friends.
I enjoyed that episode so much. I'm like, go, make him feel miserable about his stupid thing that he has told you.
And Yunsu's humor, her sense of humor, is highlighted in that scene and the other, the drunk scene in the initial episodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where she goes with the manager in the car and she doesn't remember those scenes. And she's like nonchalantly walking and is like, I think you don't really remember what happened. And then she's recalling these scenes.
That was really hilarious, especially when she said that I could not find the artist Guha. And then yeah. He's like, you obviously do not remember what happened.
Exactly. He says, you remember all the till then, but you don't remember what happened when we reached your home. And then she says, okay, what happened?
Talking about the documentary again, so it was so funny that they both, I think even in the second documentary as well as the first, they don't show up. And then these guys, the whole cast is waiting for them. And then they search everywhere. So it was like high level of pettiness. They don't want to be sure. Like, I think it was the last episode or something of the documentary. And then both of them are not there.
I loved it in the episode 7, you know, when they are kidnapped and they are brought. And the way they are kidnapped is also hilarious. The way, you know, takes on Cheung. And they come and he's like, there's slow motion. And then Ko Kyun Soo comes and then he's like, the genre has suddenly changed from romance to horror. And the whole scene. They are in the woods.
There was a dialogue now. He says that in American shows, like in a broad daylight, in settings like this, something bad happens. And then he's mad. And then the water hose is thrown on the road. And
people are going about their normal life and suddenly the twist occurs. And it's like, I cracked up at that ending. I'm like, how well have they done this? And too good. One of my favorites.
I think the drama works. The genius is this, that something really angsty had a real light touch here and there. Otherwise, it could have easily been one of those depressing dramas and we would not have been talking about it with so much love then, perhaps.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
Or cringy ones. It could have ended up being cringy also very easily.
Not to be critical, but the first 20 minutes of the first episode could have been easily chopped off. And then even the kidnapping and that whole place where they shoot again, that whole episode could have been just edited off, I felt.
I agree on that part, that the place where they go, I didn't think that vacation or that getaway served any purpose, by the way.
No, but just generally, it was good to see Yuno and Soli in their element and, you know, just take a break from the angst.
Yeah, true.
I think that part was written for Kim Ji-young's character, which did not work well with her. And none of us, even if Meenal, you like it, none of us have received Kim Ji-young in the way they wanted us to take us. For all of us, it still remains the extra cast.
I don't think I was like worried about the love triangle and all because Ko Kyun Soo and Cheung were so into each other that there was no third person who was going to break them away. Not interested. Anyways, I'm not interested in love triangles. You asked me to get interested when the lead pair is so strong, not possible. Oh, one more scene I have to talk about. These guys have not run into each other for 5 years and now she moves back into the same bowl and they keep running into each other. God, those scenes. The car, she's looking at her eyes, adjusting her eyeliner and this guy eating ice cream rolls.
Immediately rolls the window down and is like, off.
Any other scene like that, I would be like, what's the big fuss? But I found myself laughing so hard because of his expressions. And Kim Dami is also like so embarrassed. Like, why was it his car?
And whenever they're bumping into each other, there's something bad happening, right?
He falls off the bike. God, Yunsu can go to real pettiness, okay? He's on the crutch. In the cab, she takes it. You'd expect that he's on the crutch, so she'll get down, give the crutch. She just throws the crutch, sort it out.
This reminded me, even NJ and Choi Cho-young has funny scenes, you know. First of all, he's always giving NJ some stupid answers. If you know he's there, he's preventing him to do the stupidity. And even on that, there is a scene where NJ and Cho-young are sitting on a swing where two kids catch NJ as well. And he's throwing these ice creams hundreds of times. And then he's like, okay, NJ, I will give you a free drawing. And she's like, I have lots of money. Do you think I'm chasing you for a free drawing? I don't want free drawing.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, even initially when NJ is trying to build the friendship and all, he asks Uno the same thing. Is she here for a free drawing? His brain is so simple, it doesn't even think beyond that.
Yeah. He's such a simpleton.
That's why NJ likes him so much more, because she must have been used to men preying on her or men doing this thing. So right. When she realizes he thinks that she wants a boy, she's actually genuinely amused and she's like, no, I like you. And just one more thing. So this NJ comes to see him because she's not responding to her text message. And he's really surprised. You came only for that? I didn't reply the text. I was like, oh, wow.
It also shows how idols are, right? How celebrities are. How I'm the celebrity. You're the ordinary person. Why haven't you replied to me? Like, she goes bonkers with this idea that nobody's replying to her.
Yeah.
It was like an ego check for her. That
Yeah.
There are people who don't care that you're an idol.
And I used to like her dialogue. You know I'm very busy, right? But I'm here whenever you want me, I will be here. Like, to show him that, look, I'm so busy, but I'll always have time for you. Like, I loved that. She was so straightforward about her feelings. So, I quite liked, like, that about it. So I had a question. Do you think that if it was not Choi Woo-shik and Kim Dami, people could have pulled this act off of this drama?
See, different people have different ways of doing humor, but I do feel Jo Jung-suk would have done it really well. He can do humor and the thing.
Exactly the name I had in mind. Exactly, I was going to say that. I think Jo Jung-suk would have killed this too.
But I think he wouldn't look the part, right? Because these were youngsters. Jo Jung-suk looks much elder.
He obviously.
He can also lose 9 kilos, na? Meenal, now that we know.
Yeah, but he doesn't look young, yeah. Please, Poonam. I know you guys love Jo Jung-suk, but he doesn't look young.
No, no, definitely he can. A lot of Jo Jung-suk's lot of acting repertoire is going by his face and expression, right. And which is what works for Choi Woo-shik's character.
Humor also. It's his brand of humor. Yeah. Just like how he did it in Jealousy Incarnate. I think in this, the brand of humor is very similar.
And this entire expression thing, he can easily play the stupid fellow like Choi Woo-shik. And I say stupid fellow with a lot of love.
No, but when I was reading the webtoon, right? I felt that the casting was really perfect.
Yeah, totally.
Spot on. I love Kim Suno's underrated comic timing in Humcha. It came about very subtly in a lot of scenes. But I just felt like for this drama, I cannot imagine anybody other than Kim Dami and Choi Woo-shik playing the roles. Because together also, absolutely. Collectively, the chemistry was just mind-blowing.
That together part is the hard part. Because even if I think Jo Jung-suk can do Choi Woo-shik, I cannot think of where the chemistry would come from.
Exactly. That is what I'm saying. I cannot think.
Probably Jeon Ji-hyun, just for the comic timing part. But I don't know the chemistry and all, how it would work. I'm not too sure.
And this is not like what I'm talking about, hot sizzling chemistry or whatever. But this was this understated tension that was going on.
That banter. Yeah, that banter.
The quick wit and, you know, having nice retorts back at each other. Of course, that's the writing, but the delivery also matters, right? Getting the timing right.
I also think it was beyond banter. There was a huge sincerity. And I do think both actors themselves have a very sincere bond. So whenever they are on the screen, that sincerity was very palpable.
Did you guys see the interview that they did? It is so on spot.
I saw both the interview and the Meet the Cast. So in the interview, I found out later after the entire interview was over that they were never in the same room.
Yes.
And in the interview where we met the cast, I found that even though they had worked with each other in The Witch, they were not having fun. They were like quite professional actors. And when they came back for OBS, then they did literally have a lot of fun on the sets as well as working together. So she told that since we had already acted together and we were comfortable wearing uniforms and go out in school attire, we really had a lot of fun working together. So.
Yeah, that comes across. So we have Yunso asking a lot of these what if questions in the drama. What if something's happened differently? What if I abandon you? What if we had to break up? What if you don't like me anymore? She has so many of these questions that gave us an idea to do this section. What if something else happened in the drama? So we wanted to explore that too. One of the questions I had was, what if Jiung was never really in love with Yeonseo? Would you have liked it?
It didn't matter.
Wouldn't have mattered much to me. Absolutely. But at least I think some of those scenes wouldn't have left a bad taste in the mouth for some of us. So I think for me, I would have preferred that.
I would have preferred his line of romance with Chaeran.
Yeah.
They showed a great compatibility. Yes. And she was such a mature person in understanding his emotions.
And like she says, she is a version of him.
Correct.
She's a junior version, younger version of him, right? Yes. She says that. So
I say so many times, I don't want love triangles. I don't like seeing people in pain. Let them have their own love story, or like let them not be in love at all and be happy in their single lives. Show me that. So, yeah, I would have preferred the other plot.
And what if the manager, Jang Do-yoon, started liking Yeonseo before even Cheung came back into her life? What if he started liking her and said, okay, let's go out? What do you think would have happened?
I think they would have eventually murdered each other.
Yeah. They were too similar.
They even wore similar shirts.
Yeah. That's too good. Okay.
Yeah, so I think I wouldn't have minded if Jiwoong didn't like Yunsu, but I really would have liked to watch another episode where Yunsu and Mr. Jang would have gone together. And I think I felt that was lacking. So if someone had to give extra screen space, right, I would have probably given it to their dating or something.
You have to consciously remove Lee Ji-hyuk from the later part of the drama, or you know, it would have been a possibility of a triangle or something like that. I felt that they had done it deliberately.
You wouldn't believe, I was so happy when I saw Lee Jun-hyuk as Mr. Yeah. I said, this was not in the trailer. Lee Jun-hyuk is in a drama. I was so happy.
We command the space. So like when he's on the screen, you know that, hey, we are going to see something.
True, very true.
None of you guys have watched 365 Repeat the Year. He is top notch. His chemistry with Namji in that, and there's no romance. It's a thriller, a time travel thriller. But Lee Jun-hyuk is just perfect in that drama.
Actually, Lee Jun-hyuk looks really handsome in the scenes, and his expressions is on the mark. And even when he's enjoying at Yunsu's expense, the economy of his expression is really appreciable. He actually did it really well.
And he's grown younger by the day. I'm watching one drama which is in 2008, and he looks older than how he looked in Our Beloved Summer. So,
so I saw Stranger first, obviously, and then I saw 365, and I'm like, this is 3 years apart. And Lee Jun-hyuk is looking much smarter and younger in that drama than Stranger. So,
I have seen him from City Hall days. So he was, I think he debuted with City Hall. City Hall was probably one of his best.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I saw him youngest in City Hall. He looks like a callow young man in there. Not this self-assured, handsome guy that we saw.
Yeah.
But he was really cute in City Hall too.
True.
Now we're going to wrap up with some of our favorite dialogues and the key takeaways for all of us from this wonderful, wonderful drama. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. For me, I think it's Woong's dialogue where he says that Ko Kwon-soo makes me love her. Now, when he thinks that he can't be much more happier, she takes him to the highest place and then she pushes him off the cliff. So I think that spoke to me quite a lot. Like whenever they go out on a trip or whenever they're close together, right? He feels like the relationship is going to end now. So that was one of my favorite dialogues. And Yoon-soo's when she says that the reason we broke up was because of my pride, it was my pride that told me that I could live without you. It was not true for both of them. So I think these two dialogues spoke directly to me.
I do think the dialogue that you have said and those feelings that Ung had is why people comment this is a toxic relationship, by the way.
I take offense to the word toxic for this relationship.
We as an audience, we didn't feel that way, but the characters, because of their vulnerabilities and their own abandonment issues and their own things, they felt that way. But this is a feature of a toxic relationship where you are never sure where you stand with that person. Ung actually says that to her when they meet. Again, it's not that she was trying deliberately to do anything like that. He felt that way. And that dialogue that Deepak said, that I was on a high and then I would be on the depths of it. That's what happens in toxic relationship because you're not secure. But having said that, I didn't feel it that way because I felt they both were rooted. At some point, he also says that I know how Yunsu was. I know that how loving and how caring she was. There is a dialogue where he says that as well. But because of this particular dialogue is where I think that criticism comes from.
I'm very surprised because, to be very honest, she made him a better person in so many ways. He would have just been so laid back. She made him discover himself in so many ways. So if a person is actually toxic, they're not going to make you turn into a better person. I think she put that drive into him a lot more. So, yeah, debatable. I don't agree.
No, she is not toxic, not he is toxic. Together, their relationship was felt that way. And that is purely because of your own issues, because you didn't talk it out. At that age, you probably don't even know to talk it out.
No, even the what if series of questions, right? They put a lot of insecurities in the mind of a high schooler, if you look at it. Because as a high schooler, you're constantly being asked by your girlfriend that, what if I leave you? What if we break up? As a receiver of those questions, I can understand Ung would feel insecure about the relationship, about her. So that's okay. That's another interpretation of the relationship. So that's understandable.
And she is asking because she is insecure.
Exactly. Yeah.
They didn't cripple each other emotionally. That is my view.
And it wasn't their intention. They were genuinely sincere to each other and they did understand each other. But because of their own background, their own circumstances and their own perception and more about youth.
And their personalities. She didn't want to burden him with her family's troubles. He was not in a position to.
What could have he even done about it? Nothing. He couldn't have done a thing about
and it. And he was still trying to process his abandonment issues to actually be vocal about it. Come on, 21, 22 year olds, when they were in that relationship, right, 19 to 24. How mature are you to sit down and talk it out with your partner? So many misunderstandings can happen. So
actually, there's one more thing. How we receive and give love is also different. For example, I might be a person who lives with go with the flow and in the moment. And in the moment, and I give everything that I have. Okay. But when I'm doing something else, I might be focused on that something else. Doesn't mean that I have abandoned this. But there are different aspects of personalities that you have. So when they were together, they had a great time together. But I think maybe because of youth, sometimes you don't even realize why I behave this way, why I am so hungry for love, or why I am so vulnerable. You don't connect it, oh, because of my dad. You don't make those connections easily unless and until it's pointed out to you or you realize or you get help. These things don't happen. So I do think even though they were doing their best to each other, it was possible for Ung to not be sure with her ever.
Yeah, one of the lines that similar to what Deepak has said, that's what even I like, that he says that this is how it was when we are dated. I had to take everything that came my way. Like when you dumped me, I just had to take it. When you wanted to do something to me, whatever it is, I had to take it. That's all. There was no expectation from him or anything, right? So I think that line also made me feel bad for Ung. But yeah, that's one of my favorite lines.
It made me feel very bad. Very bad. Nobody should have to feel through it, which is something part of your relationship, part of your life that you cherish so much. And yet, during those times, you're not always sure.
So that's another reason why with this drama stayed with us. Right, so all the insecurities that we are talking about in the teenage years, that was sort of resolved when they met up as adults and they could see their flaws, they could see what they did wrong and they corrected themselves, they did better for themselves. We could see that resolution happening, which is very satisfying.
Correct. You know, even though he asks her, why did we break up? And she realizes that he has not heard that part of the conversation where she actually told him the reason. And then she brushes it off. She says, why talk about the past? Now we are together. And he's had a conversation with her grandmom. So he's got an idea. When she's in that most vulnerable stage at his doorstep, he always assures her, I will never let this happen. So he's made up his mind. that come what may, we are going to stick it out together. So the resolution has come in his head. He's grown as a person. So two lines, one funny, one emotional, stayed with me. One, obviously, my most favorite, where Chaeyoung goes and says, "Was it hard for you? It's us. Our love wasn't lukewarm. Neither was our breakup. So why can't we share it with each other?" Because only those two people know, right, what they've gone through. He can't talk it out with anybody but her. And she also cannot talk it out with anybody but him. So that line stayed with me. That line, the way he says it. Also, his emotions contributed a lot. The other most funny thing was, we are told face challenges head on. We should confront challenges. I liked Ung's reasoning and rationale for running away. He said, "I run for my sake, but for the other's sake too, because I want to give them time to get emotional and lose their ability to think clearly." I loved it. Nobody has put this so well for me, because Yunsu says running is a cowardly act, whereas he justifies why it is not a cowardly act. It just showed how Chaeyoung was comfortable being so laid back and chilled out. So those two lines were my favorite.
Oh, on that note, I love Chaeyoung's line that he wants to do nothing. That is my favorite line in the movie.
I
just want to do nothing.
Also, this running away is a rational strategy.
Yeah.
Very rational. He's very smart. Okay, think about this. I never thought about this. I was like, next time I end up in this situation, I'm going to use this strategy.
Later, it was interesting to see even Yunsu thinking I should run away when he runs away from that person as an adult. That was like first time she was doing, and she was like considering all aspects. Should I do that? And eventually she realized this is the only thing she can do.
So last bit, what was your biggest takeaway from our beloved summer?
Communicate. For me, the biggest takeaway was communicate. Talk in a relationship. This was a drama which showed that most of the things are not exactly the way you see them. There's so much more that has happened. There is a background to this. So communicate, talk about it, get it off your chest.
True. I do agree with this, and this is something I'll take away even from our 25-21, by the way, that relationship as well, that could have been also salvaged if there were communication. Yeah. So communication is definitely the mainstay. But you know what is my biggest takeaway? That you do not know a person even if you have been with them for years and years and years. Two human beings, be you say that opposite attract or same kind, but you don't know what is happening with the two individuals, even if they are the closest. Those two kids, even though they were truly sincere to each other, their life experiences and circumstances shaped them. And I am not sure at that age, even if they had communicated, I'm not sure what they could have sorted. It is quite possible Ung was at the time not ready to deal with Yunsu's problems. And what could he have done? Ask money from his parents or do what? I mean, I don't see a solution for that. And both of them could not have exactly known how they are perceiving the whole thing. Yunsu had no idea he felt that way. And Ung had no idea what Yunsu was going through. So I feel no matter what kind of relationship you are, how close you are, you cannot always know a person fully. Because human beings are complex like that, and it's okay. And like Sangeeta says, leave it out there. Communicate and leave it out there. I don't think Yunsu could have even explained it at that point. I put myself in Yunsu's situation. I feel like I couldn't have shared it. Even if I would have shared it, what good would have that done to me? And sometimes in your hardest times, also it's hard to articulate that to even your closest people. When I'm going through like really toughest time and people call me, I'm not able to articulate things as well. So I feel like relationships just require a telling that I'm available. And second thing is that you have all the space to do what you want to, and if then it's right, time is right, if you are right for each other, it will work out.
Yeah, for me the biggest takeaway is count your blessings. So even all these four leads, they had the best support system in their life, they had the best family and friend circle, they were pulling themselves down. So I think that is one key takeaway from OBS for me. And I think I also learned how difficult it is to be an idol or famous person, how people, strangers, right, they just think they can just look at you and judge you and say whatever they want. So I think we do that, right? We kind of abuse people online on Twitter or Facebook. So I felt like, hey, they're also human beings, so the things are going on in their lives too, so be kind. So these two things are my key takeaways.
This is a very good takeaway, actually. And some of the K-dramas, even in past, have tried to bring that fact that, you know, some ordinary person who goes to office, has a, like, a proper life, he's seen as the key member of the society, is actually online. People become so ugly selves of themselves and writing ugly things to celebrities. I think Greatest Love, Sangeeta, that also was totally focused on this fact that, how, you know, how normal, random people 100 times a day hurt me things too. And it's difficult for mental health for celebrity. But if you try telling this to people, I was telling this to your friend, and she said that, why? They have all the money and all the people to take care of them. How does it matter to them? I don't think they really care this much.
Boy, if money could buy happiness, we wouldn't have so many celebrity suicides, would we?
Absolutely.
So I think we still need to be kind to people. Yeah, pretty much same takeaway as Deepak had. Sometimes we drown ourselves so much in self-pity and self-misery that we forget there are people around us who believe in us, who love us. And we really need to put our heads up, look around. You just need one person to be there for you. And that's enough. So for me, I felt, because our beloved summer came at a time when it was dark, depressing winter in UK. And I always say this, that it had such a great blend of humor, comedy, innocence, pain, angst, friendships, parents, grandparents. I always say this, that it felt like a very warm and fuzzy hug, which I needed to get through that winter period. So that was what our beloved summer means to me.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to the writer. I don't know if she has anything else to credit, but Lee Na-yoon, I do think that she did a great, great job writing this series. Plus, even within the series, the documentary that they were doing, I thought that there was loads of thoughts gone into that, and which made the whole experience completely heartwarming and joyful. So, Lee Na-yoon.
So, to add, she is also the same age as the characters, 29. I was reading her interview, and she brought about a lot of experiences from her own youth and her period between 19 to 29. I'll share that interview link. Some of the things that she said is very interesting, how this drama came about.
I'm sure she knew somebody like Joey Wishik's character. That's how she could write
possible,
it.
So possible. Possible. Great. We've gone on for a long time. Deepak, really glad to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I'm sure listeners now realize that, yes, guys enjoy romance as well, romance dramas. We encourage more guys should watch K-dramas. Thank you so much. This has been a great episode. I hope listeners, after you have listened to the deep dive, love our beloved summer even more. We are on Instagram, Twitter. All our handles are in our episode notes. Get in touch. Give us feedback. Until another episode. Annyeong.